This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Imagine if your garbage hadn't been collected for weeks. Oh, even the thought of it. Well, that's happening to our friends in New Orleans, so they threw a trash parade. I love those people. We're going to talk about that, plus what's happening with all the Haitian migrants that ended up in Texas. How did they end up there in the first place? That's a big question a lot of folks are asking. And Simone Biles is excited for a huge trip that she's making around America. I, for one, think it's a great thing. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, wherever you're listening to me, thanks so much for coming on board, whether you're a first timer or you've been with us for a long time. So let's talk about the Haitian migrants and the situation and the response to this. It's insane. And listen, Republicans and Democrats, they're agreeing that it's out of control and something needs to be done. Okay, well, we know something needs to be done. It happens, and you got to pull it apart. More and more people are coming to the border, more agents, more law enforcement types. When I see those horrific pictures, I talked about it at length the other day, having covered the border. I worked for a TV station in El Paso, and I saw what it was truly like, but I never, even on the worst of days, I never, in waters, never saw this many people. And I think many people have covered the border for a long time are saying the same things. You got thousands of Haitian immigrants that are just encamped at Del Rio, Texas. They're underneath a bridge, and they're waiting either deportation or deciding to stay put. And most of them want to stay put and get asylum, but that can't happen. So how did they make their way to Texas instead of going to Florida, which, of course, is much closer to Haiti? Some of them were already in Central America. And, you know, you had the natural disasters, the dysfunctional, crazy, insane government. So that steady flow got heavier and families got word to other families and et cetera. And then, of course, in Latin America, with the pandemic continuing to roll on, there's not much opportunity there. So the end goal for almost all of them, they would say, is to get to the United States. And listen, I've interviewed lots and lots of I did a series where I interviewed maybe a dozen families, and this was probably a decade or so ago, and there wasn't an exact pattern, but there certainly was some sense of a grapevine, of course there is, where the word gets through. Where can you get through? What's happening? How are you processing that? And and this is exactly what's happened. So you're not just talking about the Haitians, although so many of the majority are Haitian, because that's what the giant influx has been. And when you think of Del Rio, Texas, you know, that's a city of maybe about 35,000 people. So part of that border had to be closed, and it's about flying Haitians home. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Border Patrol agents chasing Haitian migrants on horseback. And that, of course, was just met with outrage. Like, what is going on? The Secretary of Homeland Security went there on Monday, said an additional 600 Homeland Security folks have been sent there. Okay. I mean, this is going to be a while to pull this apart. It's going to take a while to pull this apart. If it's wrapped up in a couple of weeks, meaning it's not the incredible thousands of people there, I would be surprised. That would be good. And what's interesting, and I said this last time, I'm going to say it again, there's a thing called Title 42, which actually President Trump enacted, which allows for quicker expulsion of asylum seekers to prevent the spread of COVID-19 because of what was happening in this holding facilities, rather. So President Biden is continuing that policy, and thank goodness, because this is exactly what's been used to clean up the border, so to speak, because it's not safe for anybody that's trying to come in. It's not safe at all. All right, garbage not being collected. Somebody sent me a text a couple of days ago, and then there was a big story, like in the USA Today or New York Times or wherever, I don't know. Probably a lot of people are talking about it. So Louisiana is trying to get back on its feet, recovering from the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, dealing with problem after problem, right? And the garbage hasn't been collected. It hasn't been collected since days before the storm on August 29th. So can you imagine what the smell is? I won't even describe the animals and the varmints, the other kind of varmints that could get in there. The stench would attract rats. So it's so bad that they decided, we're going to have fun with this. And there were some people that banded together, and they had a garbage parade. They dressed in trash-themed costumes, and then they put their debris at the doors of City Hall. And good for them if you're not going to do something about it. I mean, obviously, there's so much that's happening in the whole cleanup process, but this has to be a priority. I mean, come on. You know, there was like 2,000 people that went on a Facebook page and said they were interested in being part of the parade. So there was definitely people that were part of the parade. Not 1,000 people, but there were certainly people there. And I have to give it to you, New Orleans. You definitely have a sense of humor. And the New Orleans mayor, LaToya Cantrell, said, yeah, we know, but there's no getting around it. The situation stinks, but bum. That's like a hashtag, right? Imagine you're in the French Quarter, and it's got to be a terrible example of the failure of what's happening with the government. Make it a priority. I guarantee it's a priority now. Definitely. It has to be a priority. All right, let's give you something a little uplifting that I heard about. Simone Biles is doing a Gold Over America tour, and it's not just Simone Biles. I mean, she is the GOAT, right? 7-time Olympic medalist, pride of the USA. I mean, you got to be proud of Simone Biles. And it's a tour that's going to feature a whole bunch of other all-star teammates, you know, for sure, like Jordan and Chels and also Lori Hernandez, and they're going to stop at 35 places, and the first place is Tucson, Arizona. Our pals at KVOI, we have so many listeners in Tucson, and I think actually the first I heard about it was a listener who told me about that. The last stop, I guess, is in Boston on November 7th, and what she was saying is she loves the sport of gymnastics. She wanted to help create a show that celebrates just the joy of performing, which I think is good because there's such a black eye on gymnastics, which is no fault of the athletes, right? So the tickets are being sold, and I guess they're selling pretty briskly. And you know, you think of just what all of these athletes went through, and the testimony, the gripping, sad testimony before the Senate, and talking about the system and USA Gymnastics and all of that. So I think this is a way to celebrate. This is a way for something positive. This is a way to show, hey, we pushed through it. I mean, you know, to me, that is a bravo moment. It's a bravo moment. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, what's interesting is, because she's like the old lady, right, at 24, is will she compete in Paris in 2024? She keeps getting asked that question, 2024. And then, so you do the math. Like, that is incredibly young, but it's incredibly old for gymnastics. But she's got that whole Tom Brady thing going on. What is age anyway? So I say shout out to the pride of the USA and the fact that they're doing this tour. And I hope if you're in that area, you get a chance to see some incredible, incredible athletes. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to an amazing fireman who has a story about what's it like to be a fireman, what's it like to even get through the academy. I can't even imagine what that's like. Stay with us.
For 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Erin McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Introduce you to Terrell Foxworth. He has written a very interesting book called Chasing Flames. He's in our virtual green room, so we're going to go to him now. Terrell, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you and I had just a wonderful off-air conversation, and we talked about, you know, why you wrote the book. We talked about all kinds of things that you were doing and maybe what the future holds, too. I mean, you have seen some things in your life, you know, whether we're talking about firefighting, whether we're talking about being a carpenter. And I think your experiences really, in a sense, kind of came out in your work in Chasing Flames. So why did you write Chasing Flames?
It's always hard to explain. That question always gets me stuck because I just wanted to share the knowledge of controlling your mind state and getting what you want out of life. And for some reason, firefighting just kind of made it all come together.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Was it purpose? Was it having to be so focused? Do you think some of that plays into that?
Absolutely. Being focused on that fire line, trying to make sure that you go home safely, learning the fire line. It was kind of a life-changing learning experience that I took in. I didn't just use what I learned on the fire line. I took it with me wherever I went from that point.
Yeah. Let's talk about you being a firefighter and how that happened. What was it like? You know, we all have I live down the street from a wonderful fire department, and I see what they do and what they go through, and I've talked to many of the firefighters. What was it that drew you to that in the first place, and what was it like in the beginning?
it was one of the opportunities that I had. It wasn't many opportunities that was set before to me. So I took it, and it was very challenging just to get there because you have to be in tip-top shape, and we had to get trained and take all these physical tests on top of written tests also. So you had to learn a lot, obtain a lot of knowledge, and be able to pass the test mentally and physically.
Yeah, and that probably, I mean, that really strengthened your mind, I'm sure, when you talk about the mental part. And how heavy is the gear? I think people don't realize what it's like.
Oh, yeah, there, I believe it was maybe just by itself, you were at like 60 pounds, and that's just with the water, the backpack, and your fire shelter.
Wow. And you see, I mean, we see so many wildfires. We see what's happening with fires, and you really truly know what that's like to work with other people. What did you learn about working on the fire line?
For one, like you said, working with other people, it was so many different nationalities, personalities, so many different people that you ran into that you probably wouldn't normally run into, and to have the ability to communicate and get the job done together was always a challenge.
Yeah, and you have to do that because your life is on the line.
Your life is on the line. Their life is on the line. And we're also, you know, the community. Wherever we're at, it's not just about us. It's about the people that live there, people whose homes are there, you know, their life, their history.
Oh, I like how you said that, their life, their history, you're protecting that and them. What was it like in the whole aspect of the people, the community? How rewarding was that for you to help people, to save lives?
The smiles on their faces says it all. You know, the waving, we love you, thank you. That was so amazing. That experience was, that's not something that comes around every day.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there is so many lessons that people are listening to us, and you think about firefighting and firefighters, and your book is so perfectly titled Chasing Flames, and what you learned from that. You learned about teamwork and dealing with people that were completely different than you, helping other people. And was there that sense of satisfaction of completion of a job well done when you were able to really put fires out?
Absolutely. It became more than just a job. It was almost as it was my life, my home or my town that was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, call us, put us out there. Let us go do it. We will get it done.
Yeah. We're speaking to Terrell Foxworth, and his book is Chasing Flames. Did you ever think growing up that you would be a firefighter?
Not at all. Not once.
And you did it. If we go back to the beginning again, and when you graduated, so to speak, and you became, because lots of people don't get to that point. They're interested, but they can't do it. They can't carry the weight, or they can't get the written part done, or they can't deal with the mental aspects, like you said. Once you went through firefighting school and you graduated from that, what was that feeling like?
I mean, I guess you would say it's like any graduation, any achievement in life. You're right. It was people that couldn't do it. It was people that just gave up. But there was those that did it. And when you did, you became closer with that group that you graduated with. You guys made it to the next level.
Yeah, and you made it to the next level. What do you hope people take away from reading Chasing Flames?
I'm hoping, for if it's just one person, that they understand that you have the ability to do whatever it is you choose in life. It's not going to be easy, but there are utensils, tools that will help you get there. If you want it, you dig for it, you search for it, it will come. But it all starts within yourself. You have to want it. You have to think it. You have to search for it. And it will come to you if that's what you want.
Boy, and that's what you did in Chasing Flames. Once you're in a fire department or several departments, or you've been a firefighter, you're always part of that brotherhood and sisterhood now too, right?
Absolutely. Even when I see a fire on TV, I want to know what's going on. It's not that easy to just go out there and find out personally, but now I'm paying close attention, and when the conversation is being spoken, the fire jumped the line, or the containment, I understand, and I'm paying more attention to. Usually, I would hear it, and I would just, you know, that's hey, now it's oh, okay. They're up there. Okay, that's heavy timber, or that's light flashy fuse, or it's gonna burn real fast, or we got the wind, Santa winds coming. I'm paying attention to those type of things now.
Yeah. And you know, too, being on the Pacific Coast, how we've seen in the West how deadly these fires are.
Absolutely. And that was the thing. I always seen it on the news, but to get up there and experience it, I really want to share with the world what it's like up there. But I didn't want to just make it about firefighting because the things that I learned in firefighting, like I told you, it's everyday life. Like, first of all, safety's first. It's always safety first. We all got a spark inside us, and that flame get to going. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to be able to contain it? Are you going to be able to prevent it? Or are you going to just self-destruct? It's really amazing how I looked at it. I don't know too many people have looked at it the way I do, but I look at it as fighting fire. It's just like my waking up every day and going out in the world and living my life.
Yeah, and I think there's great wisdom in this, and you're right, in taking what it was that you learned and how you can apply it. It's not just about your story, that's the brilliance of it. It's about so much more than that, and about how you can apply what Terrell has learned, for sure. You can, of course, get the book, like I mentioned, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, great bookstores. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit gcnlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden spoke with French President Emmanuel Macron for the first time since Biden announced a defense partnership with the UK and Australia that prompted the Aussies to cancel their partnership with the French. During a 30-minute phone call on Wednesday, Biden appeared to admit that there were missteps in the rollout of the Australian deal. In a joint statement, the leaders said that the situation would have benefited from open consultations between allies and that President Biden had made a commitment in that regard. And the Food and Drug Administration has decided to grant an emergency use authorization to Pfizer's COVID vaccine for a booster shot for people 65 and older, those at high risk for severe disease, and those whose jobs put them at high risk for infection. The approval following the recommendation of an advisory panel that met last week, which voted down the booster for the general public. Before any shots can be administered, the Centers for Disease Control must sign off on the recommendation. A CDC advisory committee will meet on Thursday to discuss the FDA's decision. This is USA Radio News. Investigators continue to search for the boyfriend of a social media star found dead over the weekend. Lance Pry has more.
The body found over the weekend near a campsite in Wyoming is that of Gabby Petito. The Teton coroner ruled the cause of death a homicide. Forensic scientist Lawrence Kowalinski on CNN says although the coroner did not give specifics to the media about the cause of death, it is known by investigators.
Coroner Brent Blue has to make a determination as to whether it's an accident or a suicide, a homicide, natural cause death, or indeterminate. And the fact that this death was called a homicide would tell me that they must have a cause of death. They're not declaring it at this point because the autopsy is not completed.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And House Democrats have introduced a standalone bill that would provide $1 billion in funding to replenish Israel's Iron Dome air defense system, a day after removing it from a bill to fund the government through December. This is USA Radio News.
For health and vitality for you, your family, and friends, get the Healthy Start Pack from Longevity, as recommended by registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
If you're a junk food junkie, getting on the Healthy Start Pack is one of the best ways to wean yourself off of processed snack foods and start putting good nutrition in your body. If you have a loved one who's dealing with heart disease or any health challenge, the Healthy Start Pack makes a great gift. If you have a grandparent or a parent in a nursing home, you will be amazed at the difference a once-a-day dose of the Healthy Start Pack will make in your loved one's energy levels, in their memory, in their mood, and in their general outlook on life.
Give the gift of optimal health to your loved ones and order the Healthy Start Pack from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebed.com. That's brightsidebed.com. Order today.
Conversation off the air with our next guest, who is going to talk about something I think is so vital, and it's made me more aware of the way that I'm breathing, and I think this will help you too. I mean, everyone listening can do this. So joining us now in our virtual green room is Rasheem Northington, and he's written a book called The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. Rasheem, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
So you have an interesting background in this. Before you wrote this, tell us a little bit about what drove you in this direction, because of all the Chinese medicine you're familiar with, all the things that you've done in your background that led you to realize the importance of the diaphragm and what you actually learned from Kung Fu.
I'm sorry.
So tell us about your background. That's all right. Tell us about your background and how it led you to writing this book. One of them was, of course, Kung Fu and what you learned through Kung Fu. So tell us about that.
Okay, yes. I trained in Kung Fu, Taoist Tai Chi Kung, for many years since I was about early teens, mid-teens, I would say, and it involved a lot of breathing type of exercises, and breathing was stressed to be the key to having power in this art. So the stronger your breath was, the more power you can obtain. That was the main focus of the training, and everything was heavily based on breathing and the breath. And that contributed to me later on about the nature of the diaphragm involvement with the breath. Understanding the breath. Go ahead.
Because I think, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that so many of us take shallow breaths. So you learn not to do that, right?
Right. In Qigong breathing, you are encouraged to take deep breaths, belly breaths, full breaths, full conscious breaths. Every breath you take in the training. And that's the key to developing power, the deepness of the breath.
Yeah. And, you know, when we look at the diaphragm, the importance of it, of a skeletal muscle, it's the only right skeletal muscle controlled by involuntary unconscious or voluntary conscious nervous system, right? So so it's really an interesting thing to talk about.
Correct, because as the diaphragm is a skeletal muscle, which is supposed to be, like all other skeletal muscles are, a voluntarily controlled muscle, it's heavily controlled involuntarily, which is unique amongst all the other skeletal muscles in the body.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm listening.
Now, that indicates how significant, important the function of the diaphragm is, the fact that even though we have voluntary control, the body actually dominates the control over our voluntary control in most cases.
Yeah, so when we look at this, why did you write the book? Because you realized how important it was with all the things that we've just said?
Oh, yes. The last thing my Kung Fu teacher told me before he passed away was, do 300 breaths a day, kid. His exact words. And that stuck with me because I didn't truly understand what that meant. So I kept thinking about it. And I went back to the Kung Fu training and exercise that required breaths in order to help achieve power from that exercise. I began to realize that I wasn't as good as I used to be when I was younger, and I struggled to breathe to maintain those postural exercises. And I noticed in order for me to be better at it, my diaphragm had to work harder at it. And then it started to make me realize, and also the breath to get stronger, so does the diaphragm must get stronger, because the diaphragm is what controls the flow of the breath. And as the diaphragm gets stronger, so the breath can be deeper from a stronger or more full contraction of the diaphragm that can really only be done voluntarily.
Wow, so fascinating. And in the book you go deep into this. You tell us things to do, things to be aware of, all of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you and I, when we talked off the air, what led you to say, okay, I should write this book because I see how important it is that, you know, kid, take 300 breaths a day. What really drove you to saying, I think I need to tell people more about this?
Because I think at the same time, after my teaching about breathing, it was never taught or explained in relation to the diaphragm's function specifically. I mean, it's mentioned that the diaphragm is a breathing muscle, but then it says breathe, and the diaphragm itself is not really included in that category. So what I started to attain is that if we look at breathing from the scope of the diaphragm's involvement, I think the understanding of breathing becomes a little easier, and it starts to make more sense that if breath can't happen without the diaphragm, then in order for us to gauge how strong a breath is, should be gauged by the strength of your diaphragm. And then I think that quantifies everything. It makes everything understandable of why I can only breathe but so much, because that's the limit that my diaphragm has on it. And if I increase the limitations on my diaphragm, then I can increase the limits on my deep breathing or deep breath. And I think if everybody understands this from that regard, things would be more easily attainable due to a greater understanding of how breathing works, and that the breath is really specifically controlled by the function of the diaphragm. And breath cannot happen without that function.
Yes, so true. And we're speaking with Rasheem Northington. The name of the book is called The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. I love the title, The Muscle Source of Life, because it is something I wasn't aware of until we had that conversation. I was, but I wasn't thinking about it. And I think that's what it is. We're kind of sleepwalking when it comes to breathing. Do you think so?
I think so as well. But the thing that's even more significant about the diaphragm's function, even though it's necessary for breathing, because the diaphragm is designed the way it is, upon breathing, it also does a whole lot more for the body than just breathing. Because breathing is not just the only thing we need for health and well-being. We also need a good circulation system. So not only does a diaphragm play a role in accessing oxygen and influencing the breath, it also is the key muscle to also stimulate healthy circulation in addition to oxygenating the body, which is also unlike any other muscle in the body because other muscles can have longer rest periods. The diaphragm does not have that luxury. The diaphragm must keep engaging, therefore keeps giving us the potential and option to continuously circulate the blood, independent of the other muscles in the body, which are very beneficial once they're engaged. But most of our lifestyle is sedentary. So in those sedentary sessions, like as in this whole conversation, the diaphragm becomes the major muscle source, in this case, for life and for circulation. That's very significant as well, not just for breathing, but blood return back to the heart, which gives the heart blood to pump back out to the rest of the body full of oxygen.
Yeah,
over the diaphragm.
Yeah, the continuous flow of air, that oxygen that you're talking about, and how critical of a component it is for the production of energy in the body, obviously, and to continuously have that flow of air, which is completely necessary, and is again what we're talking about. And how much better is your life improved? Which I think I'm answering my own question when you breathe correctly.
Okay. Well, they do say that abundant breath, abundant life.
Yeah.
Well, that's a saying I'm aware of. So the deeper you breathe, the more power you attain, the more you can in some way control your surroundings and help control your emotions. If you control your emotions, control your reactions to certain situations, you could also influence your own outcomes. So those are definitely beneficial things. And if you think words are powerful, along with deep breathing, and powerful breathing and positive words, it could fruition just the way you want it to.
You know, and I'm thinking of you, Rasheen, that I know that you teach and you tutor a lot of subjects, math and science. So if I was in your class, would you make us take a deep breath, the real breath? I think that would be interesting.
I definitely would like to. The only thing is, you know, it'll just be suggestive, but, you know, people will still want to do what they want to do. But I definitely would also always mention and talk to them and just let them know that you have this voluntary option to take a full breath. Don't wait until you have to use it. Use it now so that you can prevent everything that happens to you before it becomes a situation that you must now. Just do it for the sake of doing it, and then it won't seem like it's a job, and it won't seem like it's a stress or strain to get it done when you can't, when you need to.
Yeah.
So that's the way I try to, you know, inform people of, you know, be aware of that, utilize it. There's a reason for that, and it just makes you feel better. And if you look on articles online, you can see that they explain how deep breathing always makes you feel better for whatever reason. It slows the heart rate down, it slows this down, it calms the nerve. Influences the parasympathetic nervous system, all those calming, resting, digesting, recovery type of systems in the body. So we don't have to wait until anything drastic happens. We could always be trying to maintain that state all day long as we can remember and consciously be aware of that.
Yeah. Yep, 300 breaths a day. I love it. And the name of the book, The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. Rasheen Northington, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Definitely appreciate it.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Carolyn Mignocchi joins us now, and she's written a couple of books, several books, including the one that I want to talk to her about, business sense. And it really, really makes sense if you think about it, because it's evolve or die in the world of business. And it looks at business concepts and makes it simple. And this is a book I looked at and I thought, oh my gosh, there's so many things that she's made crystal clear in this book. I think this is a book that, just like the second part of it is, evolve or die in the world of business, is so handy for anyone, either at the start of their career or somewhere in the middle, or if you're an entrepreneur. So Caroline, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I'm truly honored and extremely humbled. So thank you so much.
All right, so tell us business sense, by the way, / sense with an S. That's what I was trying to get out in the beginning. Tell us why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book because I wanted to help anybody who's trying to get into the business world or trying to run their own business. I wanted to help them understand that it's not easy, but it's doable. So I wrote it so that, you know, anybody, even if they don't have a formal education, or, you know, it's somebody back in the village in Africa, they can read it and they can understand, hey, there's some principles and some concepts that you need to put towards your business to be able to be successful. So it's like a business 101 book for, you know, it covers everything from looking for a name to creating a business plan to your projections, your financial projections. And then it tells you a little bit about expanding as well. So it just covers, you know, the world of business in very simple terms. That's why I wrote it.
Yeah, and one of the things that you talk about, you say taking time before you jump into your business and looking at what is it that you do
and what is it you do different than anybody else? And you talk about a friend of yours that was opening a video library in Nairobi, and you say, you know, what's your niche and what's the core of the business? Because I guess she had a brilliant idea of movie rentals, of online movie rentals, and she used a business strategy similar to Netflix. So you tweaked that a little bit for her, and it really worked, right?
Yes, she actually had an extremely brilliant idea, but there are some things that she did not put into consideration. Where she placed her business was a little bit difficult for her because the people around her were selling movies. They were selling movies at a very cheap price. So if she had moved location, she'd have probably made much, much more money, or she'd have probably struggled a little bit less than her first few years. But she had an amazing idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about that. What's the idea? Yeah. Where do you go? So this book really is, like I said, it makes sense. It's business sense slash sense. I mean, it's, you know, how do you do it? So you go from this book, and it's obvious what you want people to take away from it, and you said that, to several other books, Encanto, A Flying Duck, Squippo, and what, tell us about those books. How did you go leap from that book to doing wonderful children's books?
Thank you so much, Katie. I was raised in a very, my upbringing was very humble. I did not have much, and what I did not have was children's books. So I made friends with, like, rich relatives and rich friends so that I could go to their houses and I could read books, children's books. So I thought and I love children, and I've been a teacher for a really long time, so I thought if I can write books and, you know, have them, you know, if any child in Africa or any child who needs a book can read one of my books, I thought it would be nice. And I was inspired by through dreams as well. So I dreamt about the children's books before I wrote them. I had no idea I was going to write children's books, but the dream was so vivid that I had to write them.
And so what was it about, you know, what inspired you? So, like, for example, Encanto talks about loyalty and hard work and resilience and all of that. And so did you want them all to have a lesson for the children?
Yes, I wanted them to be entertained, but to also have a moral lesson to get out of the book. I mean, we have to teach our kids. I mean, we have to guide our kids because they're the ones who are going to take care of us tomorrow. So we have to guide them in a way that they know that there's some qualities and some ethics that we need to follow in order to be good, good people, and to live in a good community.
Yeah, I like Squippo. That's about unusual friendship, that you have different, completely different characters, and they have this incredible friendship, and that there's this loyalty and this trust, and it really illustrates to kids that you don't have to all look the same. Tell us about the characters in that book.
The characters are, one, it's Squippo because it's a squirrel and a hippo, so I put both the names together. So one of the characters is a squirrel and the other one is a hippo. And see, their body images are so different. They don't even eat the same food, but when they come together, they form such a great friendship. I just wanted to show people that, you know, our eyes can be our biggest deceivers because we look at people and we have preconceived notions about what that person is or what that character is. But when you get to know somebody, you can actually forge a really good friendship without having to judge by your eyes. That's why I wrote that book.
I love that you invented a word. And somebody told me a long time ago, a really smart man, I know, he said, invent a word. If you want people to be attracted to something, invent a word. And you did that. That's lovely.
Oh, wow, that is
brilliant.
So you
also write A Flying Duck. Tell us about A Flying Duck.
A Flying Duck is about good people. Good people, I feel, in the world are taken advantage of a lot, especially hardworking people. So it's about an extremely good person that was taken advantage of, but had to hide because what she had a duck that was given birthing diamond or golden eggs, and so she had to hide that duck and give it to the ultimate good people so that they can continue having a good world. So it's about a battle of evil and good. So a few good men help restore the world into a good place. That's what it's about.
I love it. In writing these books, was it fun to write the children's books?
It was extremely fun. It was extremely fun. And then I'm grateful because I have a lot of teacher friends. So I sent the books to a lot of my friends, and I got a lot of, you know, constructive criticism. So it's like I wrote the books over and over like 10 times because I had to read it with my friends. And, you know, the editing process was a little bit difficult. So I had a really good time writing the children's books. The business book was a little bit tough because there were some things that I wanted to explain, but I couldn't find a simple way to explain them. So I left out a few things in the business book because I did not know how to explain it in simple terms.
Yeah, and that's the key, is that you do break down a lot of things that are complex, and
yeah.
I think that's why it's so handy, and that's what I said at the beginning of this, things,
yeah.
Methodologies and examples and case studies from around the world, entrepreneurs, what is it that you're looking at, and you explore that, and it could be anybody young or old that could use the book. So I can't imagine, Caroline, that you're done. Do you have other books that you're going to write?
Yes, I'm writing other books, but I want to get into thrillers.
So yes. next thriller. So now you're developing novels.
Yes, I want to do novels. I have two more children's books to write because it's a five book story for the kids.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping, you know, thank you so much for this. And, you know, I'm hoping things work out so that I can, you know, get something to publish the last
yeah.
two children's books. Yes, then start on the thrillers. But I have written them. It's just, you know, it's a little bit difficult for the illustrations and stuff. So
yeah.
Hopefully everything goes well. Yeah, so I can continue publishing.
So where can people get your books?
You can get them on Amazon. You can get them on Google. You can, if you just type, you know, type any of the books or type my name and, you know, a title of one book and you Google it, it will give you the Amazon store. It will give you on my website. You can get the books on my website as well. That's carolinemunyoki.com. And then you can get them in Barnes and Noble. So they're pretty much in bookstores, but they're ordered. You have to, they're placed to order books. So you have to place an order then.
There you go.
I
think people get that concept. All right, Caroline, thank
yeah.
you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm truly grateful. Thank you. So God bless you so much.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.